Welcome to the weekly podcast from the Church of England. Later in the programme, we'll hear about new statistics that show the number of people going to midweek services at cathedrals is rising. And we'll meet a canon who memorised the whole of Mark's Gospel and recited it in his local church. But first, the Church of England's Chief Education Officer is calling for greater clarity on how schools will be expected to prevent young people becoming radicalised. The Reverend Nigel Gender's comments come in a new blog written after the government revealed details of its counter-terrorism bill. In it, he asks what guidance there'll be in the bill for schools and questions Ofsted's current role in this area. I started by asking him, if Ofsted shouldn't be looking at the issue, who should be?
We obviously take the threat of radicalisation very seriously, and we see Church of England schools as being part of the solution. All schools need a very clear advice about how they can prevent young people being drawn into extremism. But the point about Ofsted is that inspectors are increasingly being required to make nuanced judgments about aspects of school life where they're not trained or equipped to judge, and where there are few, if any, guidelines. So what we want to do is really rely on those who do know and can offer proper advice and help.
How do you think church schools can help then in that case?
Well, it's not just about preventing the development of extremist views, but it's all about promoting a more positive vision. Church schools need to be able to continue to offer the high quality religious education that will equip pupils and students to understand religion and the part that plays in the world, rather than to be led astray by distortions of religion.
So it doesn't sound like the government's counter-terrorism bill fits in very well with what you're wanting to happen.
Well, of course, the government has a right to legislate in this area. But what we're saying is that there are much more serious and far-reaching questions that need to be asked. It shouldn't be about the role of Ofsted in policing and enforcing new statutory duties. But rather, we need to ask questions about who decides what extremist thought really is that we should be protecting children from. Who sets the benchmark? How will schools determine at what point they're responsible for what pupils watch or who they talk to? It needs a lot more thought.
So what's going to happen now?
This is obviously a very important issue, and many schools have contacted us because they've got concerns about what's happening. And so we need to make sure that we listen to that and we have discussion with Ofsted and with government to make sure that schools really do get the guidance and the advice that they need in this area.
The Reverend Nigel Genders. And you can find the blog by going to the Church of England's website and clicking on the blogs box. The number of people going to midweek cathedral services has doubled in the past 10 years, according to figures released by the Church of England this week. In 2013, 15,000 people a week went to midweek services, compared with 7,500 in 2003. This complements the 1 million who attend church each Sunday. I spoke to the Dean of Lichfield Cathedral, Adrian Dauber, to find out why he thought the numbers had gone up.
It's absolutely clear that more people are trying to get to worship during the week, and all those cathedrals who push the boat out to innovate and start new services are finding their efforts rewarded with great success.
What is it then about midweek services that people like?
Sometimes because they can be slightly experimental. Some are deeply traditional, like choral evensong. I mean, people can come and tune in to that. I think also there's the guarantee that they're going to be reasonably short. And people can often squeeze them into very, very pressurised lifestyles. Whereas at the weekend, you've got commitments with children doing sports, shopping, household maintenance. You know, life's run at the double these days. And weekends are very pressurised and very committed. Taking out half an hour or an hour during the week is much more negotiable. It comes out with much more kind of discretionary time.
The Dean of York Minster, Viv Fald, says cathedrals are well placed to encourage people to worship.
If I take a Eucharist at 12:30 in the middle of the week in the nave of York Minster, there'll be lots of people who just slide in from the sides. It's much more difficult just to slide into a parish church because everyone in the village is watching. You're much more. It's not so much about anonymity, it's about feeling there's a journey that you can travel, which doesn't require huge steps. It just requires one little step, and I think that's very important.
The figures also showed Christmas services last year were well attended, with the numbers steady. If you want to look at the report, you can find the link on the front page of the Church of England's website. A series of short films are to be released every day in Advent as part of new resources from the Church of England. The Love Life Live Advent booklet contains 25 simple actions, prayers and reflections to help families make time to prepare for and celebrate Christmas, and include activities such as feeding the birds and sitting in the dark for a few minutes. It's been published by Church House Publishing and was inspired by Love Life Live Lent, which has been used by more than 500,000 people. The Archbishop of York explains why it's so important.
Advent is a season when we are being encouraged to do the things we normally do, but do them with purpose, determination. I would put it very simply. It's time to get up. It's time to wake up. It's time to clean up. It's time to serve. But it is also time to read, to reflect, to pray, and to know that the one who came at the first Christmas is the one who is forever inviting us, come, follow me.
And the booklet is available from Christian bookshops or through Church House Publishing. The centenary of the outbreak of World War I is being marked by a series of government grants to cathedrals for them to carry out repairs. The grants will total £20 million over the next couple of years. The first two rounds have already been awarded and will pay for repair work on stained glass windows through to roofing and electrical projects. The Gloucester Diocese has already received money to spend on a stained glass window. The Dean, Stephen Lake, explains more.
Well, I think cathedrals nationally tell a story on behalf of the whole nation. And obviously in this particular year, with this anniversary, it's really important that every single cathedral that can tell a part of that story is supported to be able to continue to do that. Every cathedral has its own financial story to tell, but in Gloucester, it's £1 million a year just to keep the building as it is. We don't charge for entry. That's over £2 million worth of operation. And so fundraising is a really big element. One of the things about the World War One Fund is that it's money up front rather than having to spend money and then claim it back. So it really does enable us to do some of the less attractive things to stonework or to windows or to gutters or to roofs or electrics and so on that are very difficult to fundraise, because the task is never finished. These buildings are literally living buildings, and so it's a great help to have for the first time in a long time help from the state, because cathedrals represent something for everyone.
That was the Dean of Gloucester Cathedral, Stephen Lake. If you remember what it's like to learn lines for a school play, then spare a thought for a canon from Wiltshire who's just learnt and recited the whole of Mark's Gospel to his local church. Gerald Osborne, a farmer and priest in the Vale of Pusey, decided to take on the challenge after studying it before he was ordained. He said he realised he could memorise so much of it, he started to consider a public recital.
Came to a place called Golgotha, and they offered Jesus wine mixed with myrrh, but he wouldn't take it. And they crucified him!
The recital took an hour and three quarters to complete and was watched by a good crowd of people. Canon Osborne spoke afterwards.
I felt it went very well. I felt I gave a confident performance of it. I certainly didn't forget any of it. And I really felt that the audience were engaging with me as I was doing it, and really getting into the story themselves and being held by the power of the words and the power of the story.
We asked members of the audience what they thought of the recital.
It's tremendous. I love hearing it sort of in its entirety rather than just these sort of snapshots of scripture that we normally get. So just hearing it all, I think, is so powerful, really.
It's quite wonderful to hear the gospel said all at once.
And it's wonderful to hear the gospel in its fullness rather than in small sections as we do normally in church. To hear the whole flow of the story is wonderful, gripping. It should be done more often.
And you can hear Canon Osborne's whole recital by going to the Diocese of Salisbury's website. That's it for this week's podcast. Next week, we'll hear why a growing number of Church of England parishes are helping people with debt problems. Thanks for listening. I'm Gillian Moody.